Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I am confident that the legislature will come back next week and address what is a growing fiscal crisis in the state as exists in other states.
Draconian. That's how one state legislator is describing Governor Patterson's proposed budget cuts. And that, again, was Governor Patterson in a conference call with reporters on Monday. The cuts amount to roughly $1 billion to help get New York and New York State out of, admittedly, some deep fiscal troubles. So what could be chopped? $50 million from CUNY's budget. The standard pork barrel projects. But it's the hospitals and health care that could get hit the hardest, with the proposed cut of more than $500 million from Medicaid and roughly $99 million from hospitals. Ouch. There's also the issue of the governor's property tax cap. The legislature meets in a special session next Tuesday to hash out the details. Here to talk about New York's budget, Assemblyman James Brennan from Brooklyn's 44th District, and Senator Charles Fuscillo, representing the 8th District in Long Island. Good morning, and welcome to WNYC.
Hello, Alice.
Hi, Alice. Good morning.
Hi. Now, before we get into the minutiae of the cuts, let's establish one thing here. We're in some fiscal trouble. I mean, clearly there has to be something that's cut, and nationally we're in some trouble as well. We're in agreement, correct?
No question about it. The economy's deteriorating, and the state's tax revenue is declining as a result.
Senator?
Oh, absolutely, Alice. And look, I commend the governor for the decisions he's made so far in reducing the expenditures of state government with the authority that he has.
Now, let's talk about the hospitals and Medicaid. How much are New Yorkers going to suffer? How much are we going to feel this?
Well, the health care cuts are actually fairly significant. They are draconian. The $500 million the governor wants is a half-year cut, so it comes out to $1 billion over 1 year. And that's only the state portion of the Medicaid program. There are local government and federal portions of the Medicaid program and that get cut simultaneously with the state share, so the cuts are really in the range of about $2 billion on a full-year basis.
But if it doesn't come from Medicaid, where could it come from?
But Alice, you know, there are things that the governor can do. First of all, you know, look, it's been reported about the fraud is up to, you know, is in the billions of dollars.
Medicaid fraud.
Mm-hmm. You know, we appointed an inspector general last year, and if they're not doing their job and they need more auditors or more assistance, the governor should be asking us for this. But look, they reported last week, I believe it was one of the papers, $40 million to go into out-of-state individuals. Let's recoup that. You know, the nursing homes, hospitals, the governor and his team should call in the leaders of these hospitals and nursing homes and say, look, we are in a crisis. Let's work together. There's things we have to do. How do we do this thing? How do we work together? Look, this wasn't created over one night. It's not going to be solved over one night.
Let's talk about higher education. The governor is suggesting $51 million in aid to CUNY be cut. What's your response to that?
Well, those are significant cuts as well. The city university and state university budgets this year got some very modest increases. And, you know, we are almost last in the nation in spending on higher education, and we should be advancing the interests of students and creating more opportunities for kids. Kids need a higher education today to succeed and to compete. We have been struggling to add faculty to SUNY and CUNY, and it would be a very bad policy to hurt the public universities.
Let's open this up to our listeners. Let me just interrupt you for a second. We've got
go
a caller
ahead
on the line. And if you do want to weigh in on the proposed budget cuts, give us a shout here at 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. And I believe we have a call? Well, not yet. Not quite yet. But do you want to weigh in? Go ahead.
Well, the state had a $9.5 billion deficit 5 years ago, the year after 9/11. And we addressed that very effectively. We did about a $3 billion income tax and sales tax increase. We borrowed some money. We did cut the budget. But the upcoming deficit next year, which is about $6.5 billion, is smaller mm-hmm. than the one that we dealt with 5 years ago. Many people believe that it would be far wiser to assure that our education and our healthcare systems were sustained and not savaged. And so, you know, I and many other members of the Assembly supported a millionaire's tax this year in the state budget, which was not adopted, would have increased by about a percentage point the income tax on incomes above $1 million a year. We probably need to do a little bit more than that in terms of some revenue sources. But, you know, clearly a tax increase in the $3 billion range, which is really not a lot of money because the New York State economy is more than $1 trillion a year, you know, would be able to enable us to sustain education and advance education and make sure that our healthcare system is functional.
Senator, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, well, there's nobody that supports any tax increases. The governor the governor rejected that proposal flatly and said, "Don't even come." Told the speaker, "Don't even come to the table with that." You know, after you drive out people that have worked hard here, to, you know, built up businesses, whether it's small businesses, and then have derived a higher income, but you know their employees are adding to the economy. You're going to start hitting them again. They're paying enough corporate taxes. They're paying, you know, we're getting choked to death with taxes. And once you drive them out, what do? You go to the people making $200,000, $50,000. It's just a sickle down effect that will drive the economy down further. You know, Alice, we need to look at things. You know, the Senate last week when we went to session, we passed a bill that the Assembly already passed that will enforce the collection of sales tax on tobacco products sold to non-Indian at Indian-owned businesses. They estimate that's going to generate $400 million. That's on the governor's desk. He hasn't indicated whether he's going to approve that or not. You know, he's got to get into this thing. We passed the constitutional amendment in the Assembly, in the Senate. I'm hoping the Assembly does it as well. That would create a cap of what the state can spend on an annual basis. Look, we have an expense and revenue problem here in the state. That's the bottom line. And if we pass this constitutional amendment that will cap state spending, we'd get it under control.
Let's listen to this ad that's being run right now by the Working Families Party and the Alliance for Quality Education. They oppose Governor Patterson's plan, this anti-tax cap ad. Let's take a listen.
Everyone agrees property taxes are a problem, but Governor David Patterson's tax cap gimmick is the wrong answer. They tried this scheme in California, Illinois, and Massachusetts. The consequences were devastating. Billions in education cuts, overcrowded classrooms, teachers fired. And Patterson's plan won't even cut our property taxes. Tell David Patterson hurting schools is the wrong answer.
So, fair question. Is it a gimmick?
Absolutely not.
A property tax cap?
I
wouldn't call it a gimmick.
It's not a gimmick at all.
I would say, you know, it would work. I think it's the consequences of it and the ultimate implications of what would happen if you did it. Many school districts have costs that are rising more than 4%, you know, in relation to health insurance or energy, transportation. We got to get kids to school, you know, in the suburbs in upstate New York. Every kid in the state has an entitlement to be bused to school if they live more than a mile and a half away. If gasoline is $4.50 and the kids got to take buses to go to school, the school district has to bear that expense. And so there are certain things that the school systems would be unable to pay for necessarily at a 4% cap. That would put more pressure on the state at the time of this fiscal problem to come up with more money to assure that the schools are held
sure.
harmless from massive inflation and other problems.
Let's take a caller now. I'm Alice Rehan for Brian Lehr, and we're talking about Governor Patterson's budget proposal. With me today is Assemblyman James Brennan and Senator Charles Fuchsillo. We've got cynics on the phone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was work study at CUNY System, and I worked at the MCA department. They're already cut massively to the bone. When we would do infrastructure, they need like even more quality sort of equipment, quality infrastructure, but they can't even take advantage of what they have now because of what level they cap the employment and such. There's no new hires coming in, very difficult for them to find good people. how do you see this affecting that level of infrastructure as well as the tenured staff? How do you see them looking at this and wanting to come into work when they're not looking to better their own position in such an economic downturn?
Senator, why don't you weigh in?
Well, I think that's exactly what Jim had talked about. Had said that, you know, the cuts to CUNY, and I'll take the lead on the cuts to SUNY, would have a devastating effect and would have the downturn that he's actually talking about. Look, you know, I sit on the Higher Education Budget Committee in the Senate, and it's always a battle to get more funding with limited revenue. But we have to do everything we can. We live in a competitive society, a competitive market, and especially here in New York, we want our kids to have the best education, but we want them to stay here. And, Alice, that gets back to the tax cap. You know, it's not a gimmick. You know, Jim was right when he said it would work, but there have to be some concessions. But in the Senate bill that we passed last week, when we passed the governor's tax cap bill, we also passed our own measure giving some relief to exactly what Jim is talking about. We gave relief to increasing the pension costs, incentives to consolidate school district and sharing, banning the unfunding mandates, and a moratorium on property assessments. There would have to be some relief with the cap, but the cap is going to work. It has to be done, and I'm hoping that the speaker gives it an up or down vote in the assembly when we come back next week.
Let's take another caller. We've got Betty on the phone. Betty, go ahead.
I was wondering, when it comes to health care, is it maybe time for New York State to consider cutting out private insurance and taking over? How much would that save?
Well, that's, you know, that's related to a proposal to do a universal health plan in New York that is actually a piece of legislation sponsored by Mr. Gottfried in the Assembly. It is, we would probably in the short term have to spend more money to cover the 3 million or so people who are uninsured. There might be some savings down the road in relation to phasing out private insurance and eliminating a lot of the administrative costs that come with having to you know, determine eligibility. That's a tough thing to do in the middle of a recession.
Let's take another caller. We've got Barbara on the phone from Flushing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of comments. Number one, I personally know three people who are ripping off the Medicaid system.
Have you reported them, Barbara?
No. I probably should. And that's just me. I know this is going on. Now, I wonder how hard anyone is truly looking into this. Number two, I don't believe that every young person is qualified to go to a university. They're wasting space. They're not scholars. Yes, they have to be made useful citizens, but I believe they could, if we'd be spending more money on vocational education, and there's nothing wrong with people learning still how to be painters and plumbers and electricians, but I don't believe that all this money about all this discussion about every child and entitlements, there's something wrong with this whole picture. And one gentleman before who said that, you know, if these children are living a mile and a half away from school, you know, we must give them buses. What happened to walking?
Great point.
To walking and obese young people? Third point, just a point, and then I'm out.
Sure.
I've been in two hospitals in the past month. I could not believe, North Shore Hospital out here and Booth Memorial, the old Booth Memorial in Flushing. Mm-hmm. I could not believe the waste that I witnessed. I was in Booth for 6 days and North Shore for 5 days. What I observed in waste was astounding.
Sure, good point.
So that's all I've got to say.
In what way, Barbara? What sort of waste did you see?
People drifting around. One little lady is walking around with a broom in her hand doing nothing. They're bringing in towels. They're putting them on robes and things that people aren't being used. Then they're picked up and thrown out. The waste from food.
Right. Barbara, so I get your point. It's essentially too many staff. Sure. Thanks so much for your call, Barbara. And gentlemen, I want to toss you those two questions that she raised. Good points. Well, what about Medicaid fraud and also vocational education?
We are under an agreement with the federal government that, you know, reimburses us for much of the Medicaid expense, 50% of the Medicaid expense, to budget about, I forget the exact number, but it's about $500 million a year. in Medicaid fraud investigation, audit, and recovery related to fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a lot of money to budget, and we've been increasing the number of auditors and inspectors and investigators in relation to Medicaid fraud. And so
let me just interrupt you there.
My point is that to think that we could recover more is very tough and uncertain. I think that, doing several billion dollars worth of cuts to hospitals and nursing homes and home care agencies is unwise.
Well, sure, Alice, I'll tell you, Jim, I disagree with you. I think the state should be doing a lot more. I don't think the inspector general or that fraud department is doing what they should be doing. And it's been documented over and over. I mean,
what's been documented?
That there's billions and billions of dollars of waste in the Medicaid.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as fraud.
But you know what? Waste and fraud tie together. And if we need to give them more auditors, that's what we should be doing.
Well, that's what we've been doing for the past 2 years.
And if they need more, because they're obviously not doing enough. I mean, if it's reported that $40 million is going to out-of-state people that don't even live here anymore, obviously they need more help. And, Alice, if we as a legislature have to attack it that way to provide more assistance, we should be doing that. But that's what I hope the governor would look into.
The budget for Medicaid fraud has recoveries has quintupled in the past 2 years. So we used to be recovering about $100 million a year, and we're now budgeting about $500 million for that.
Gentlemen, thank you for being here this morning. We'll continue to cover this story, especially as the special session gets underway next week. I'm Alice Rehan from Brian Lehr. I've been speaking with Assemblyman James Brennan and Senator Charles Fuscillo. Thanks again. Be right back.
You.